This is the Countdown to Mickey podcast, where we take a new look and deep dive into the things we love at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. This is Michelle.
And this is Steve.
And this is the Countdown to Mickey podcast. Because of the pandemic, we've decided to postpone our next Disney trip for a year. We are typically annual pass holders and go quite a few times a year, so this was a huge change for us.
To help us get over our Disney depression, we decided to do a countdown of our favorite rides and really dive deep into our favorite attractions.
Welcome back to Countdown to Mickey. And we are talking about number 46 on our list, which is...
The Silly Symphony Swings.
And that is in Paradise Gardens Park at Disneyland California Adventure Park. Disney says you get swept off your feet and into the air as you wheel above it all in graceful soaring circles.
Have you ever ridden the Silly Symphony Swings?
I have. It's not my favorite, but I think it's more because of my fear factor of our young children. I don't know. But I have done a tandem with our middle child and maybe like one or two other times.
Yeah, I enjoy the swings. I like our feet dangling as we go round in circles. I think it's a really well done ride overall in terms of the design. And I really like the traditional cartoon aspect of it. I think I remember growing up.
But that's not originally how it was.
Right. We'll get to that. I'm just talking about the ride as it is right now. I like the traditional cartoon and the classical music. I think it's always been cool that those older cartoons had classical music playing, and it makes you feel like
people
you're
may
inside
not
the cartoon.
Know what you're talking about, because I actually had no idea that this was based off of anything like a cartoon at all. So it was actually based off a 1935 Mickey cartoon called The Band Concert, where Mickey acts as the conductor who keeps his orchestras playing, even as a tornado whisks them high in the sky. So the ride, there's a column that rises in the middle, revealing a tornado, which spins the riders. And the tune that's playing is the William Tell Overture and the William Tell Storm. And then once the tornado safely passes, the music comes to an end and the ride slows and lowers riders to the ground.
I didn't know if we should give a spoiler warning for that before we talked about that, since it's kind of a surprise that it's in the tornado. When you first get on the ride, it looks like it's a nice, gentle swing, and then all of a sudden it rises and you see all the tornado, and the music picks up and it gets a little bit more wild.
Okay, I guess a spoiler warning. So the ride that is there today is quite different than what it originally was. It's the same, you know, basic setup, but when it opened in 2001, when California Adventure opened, it was called the Orange Stinger. And it was actually a cute idea. It didn't work for multiple reasons, but it was really cute. So basically, the swinger was enclosed in a large orange, and all the swings were themed as bees. And then it even gave out a real orange scent. But there was a couple problems. One, the bee seats, I guess if any of the swings accidentally hit each other, it would like fall apart. So those bee seats that are so adorable, if you look at pictures, they lasted like 2 weeks. And then they were immediately taken down. And apparently the real orange scent that they used to pump into the orange stinger attracted real bees.
Wow.
And I guess a lot of people complained because they felt like the orange peel blocked the view, which really, like, the swings, the best part about it is swinging high above and getting different views. So being in an enclosed circle kind of just, like, you know, there was, like, parts you could see, but it really kind of dampened the experience. So when they did the $1 billion expansion of California Adventure, which was in 2010, they updated it to the Silly Symphony Swings that we know today.
Yeah, and did you see an actual picture of that orange? Because it does look a little out of place almost when they first, I guess, did that. It just looks like you said, it blocks the view. It looks like it might be cool, like the orange is being peeled, but it doesn't really remind me of Disney per se.
And then, it was based off of like the Orange Fields. Right. It was like Orange County. Back when California Adventure first started, it was like all inspirations from around California.
Right. Yeah, and I think, I know you've seen the documentary on the when it first opened, when California Adventure first opened, how a lot of the rides were kind of almost half-baked. Like, they didn't have, like, very good stories behind it. This kind of just reminds me of that. I actually never went to California Adventure when it first opened, so I never saw this.
Saw the orange.
I think it was in my end of high school and college years, so I never, for whatever reason, I didn't go to California Adventure during that time, so I didn't get to see it. But I think it, like what it is now, I think really reflects what Disney design is really good at.
Do you think if Disney was making a ride today, would they ever make or put out something like the Silly Symphony Swings?
Probably not.
No.
I mean, I think it is. It does remind you of like a carnival or maybe something not quite as high tech as Disney.
Right.
But they had it there. And the reason why I was talking about the design of Disney, like they already had this expensive ride, this full mechanism there. And I think what they did a good job is with it is I think it integrates into the rest of the pier a lot better than a gigantic orange. So that's what I was kind of going for in terms of the design. And I think this, as simple as a swing ride is, like this specific type of swing ride has a surprisingly a lot of mechanical parts that you have to hide. Do you remember like when you go onto the Silly Symphony Swings, you actually walk up a set of stairs and in order to get on the platform of the swings. And so do you know why you have to do that? Did that ever seem weird to you?
No, I really don't remember.
So when you go on the Silly Symphony Swings, you start off by walking upstairs and you might think like, oh, it's just a swing ride. They should have a pretty simple mechanism like a carousel that goes around and round, right? Mm-hmm. We just did that last week. We talked about kind of that one motor that can drive a lot of the motion on the carousel. Well, this one, like you said, it seems calm at first, but then it rises. So you have to actually have all of that mechanism that lifts the entire swing, the rotating platform of the swing. It has to lift up about 20 feet to reveal the tornado, to make all the swings go higher. And that mechanism takes a lot more than the carousel. So that's all hidden underneath that giant platform. Underneath that giant platform, there's also the mechanism that controls the teetering top part. So there's a gyroscope on top that allows the swings to go up and down.
What is a gyroscope?
So the gyroscope, if you look at the top, it almost looks like it's unbalanced on top of the swings. There's a rotating platform that tips back and forth, and that's the gyroscope. So it creates this sensation that you're flying up and down, and that's what allows the ride to make that feeling. And so there has to be a control mechanism for that so that it's not just random. And so that's also underneath the platform. So Disney just does a really good job hiding all of those mechanisms and making it look pretty, making it look cool with the rest of the pier.
I agree, even though it was an off-the-shelf product from a German amusement park ride manufacturer.
That's what you're referring to. So it is obviously all over the world. And I think the only thing that makes it really Disney specific is the artwork and the music. But the music, does that like stand out to you at all? I found that really fascinating. And I think the music is what really makes the ride special.
I agree. Yeah.
Have you heard that symphony before? Or
yeah, definitely.
Because I don't know if you saw, but Imagineering actually has a whole documentary just on the music of all the rides.
Really?
Yeah, and they don't really
Mind blown.
Yeah, so they don't really talk about this specific ride a lot, but I think one quote from one of the Imagineers really kind of defines how important music is to all the Disney rides.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So he says, music can cut from the head to the heart and right to the emotion. of a ride. And I think especially with the William Tell Overture, with that classical music, the orchestra, it's obviously very chaotic. There's a lot of stuff going on. I think that is what makes that ride so special, because like you see it rise, you see this tornado, you hear this music, and like it really takes you, like you're a part of the tornado.
Well, I'm sure the music was a big driving force for this ride. Otherwise, why would they pick like a 1935 cartoon? Right. I mean, the music has got to fit with it perfectly, which I think it does.
Right. And so this is just one of the rides that, to me, the music is so central. And as soon as I started researching the ride, that's what stood out to me, is the music. And I think like that also plays into the physics in terms of the feeling of the ride. And so with the sound, do you know how that sound kind of travels and influences us in terms of music? What form it usually takes?
Wavelength.
Wave, yeah. So it happens in waves. And so any circular ride, if you plot the location of you on the swing, if you put that on a graph, it's going to also create a sine wave. And so there are so many sine waves present on the ride, not just that, like I said, that circular motion creating a sine wave on a graph, but you're also going up and down on that gyroscope, creating a kind of a second sine wave. And that combined with the music kind of sine waves and the kind of how it hits our ears and how it kind of influences our thinking, like that, I think it all ties together and makes that ride so special. And so it's just another way where physics is kind of being used as a tool by Imagineering to really make you experience the ride in a way that a lot of people don't think about. And so,
yeah. No, I never thought about that before.
Yeah, and we can go into a even deeper dive with music. I won't do it right now, but in terms of the instrumentation and all of the different chords and notes and how it sounds good and bad based on the different wavelengths, but I won't go into that.
Okay.
So is there anything else about the ride that you really like or that you wanted to cover?
Well, I was just going to do a quick thing. So there's a 40-inch height requirement, but if you're 48 inches, you can ride alone. So guests between 40 to 48 inches have to be in a tandem swing with a responsible person, whatever that means. I'm not sure if that means adult or not. And then there's 32 singles and 8 tandem, but apparently the single lines are always way longer. I mean, I get it. But I was totally okay with the tandem, especially with little ones. So the average wait time is around 20 to 30 minutes. They recommend going the first 90 minutes of the day or, you know, the hour or two before closing. But sometimes they do close it early for World of Color.
Have you ever ridden it at night?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I think this has the most lighting of the pier in terms of extra lights on the inside of the swing and also around the platform. So as much as I like to ride rides at twilight, this is one of those rides that I think is pretty cool when you ride it at night and you get to see all the lights at, not on just this ride, but all around the rest of the pier. One thing I almost forgot about when you mentioned that this was an off-the-shelf ride, It not only was it off the shelf, but it's not even like one of the cooler rides that are like this. So
what
do you think?
This guy makes like all the swing rides.
Yeah, so this swing is all over the world, but what do you think the highest swing version of this swing ride, how high does it go?
80 meters.
So it actually goes 120 meters or 400 feet into the sky. And so can you imagine?
No way. I'm not letting my kids go on that.
So this, I think there's one in Sweden, and it's called the Eclipse. And it's tied in terms of height with the Sky Screamer in Texas. And I saw a picture of it, and I haven't seen a ride this high with swings like this. And so
is it like the same seatbelt or is there like legit seatbelt?
I think it's not just because they have like the single rider, like which just like that slide down seatbelt.
Uh-huh.
This is like a full on like cart that you get into and you have to strap yourself into.
Oh.
So I think once you get over the 100-foot mark, I'm guessing they add the security, extra security measures so that you can't get out pretty easily. But I thought that was interesting to see a similar version of this 400 feet in the air.
Yeah, no, I'm not going on that one anytime soon. But yeah, it's called the Zero Wave Swinger is what they have the majority of the time. And I found they even, did you know there's a Hello Kitty amusement park in China?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it's a whole amusement park dedicated to Hello Kitty. And there's a swinger ride there, too.
Maybe I did see that somewhere at some point. But yeah, we haven't gone into the physics a ton. I know I went into it a little bit. But what's amazing is this ride is so prevalent around the world that there's actually an entire physics paper. It's a 12-page analysis. 12-page analysis of this swing ride. Not this particular swing ride, but of the Zire Wave Swinger. And so it's a PhD physics professor. Her name is Anne-Marie Pendrell. Mm-hmm. And she goes into all of the things you can calculate based on how far out the swings go. You can calculate how fast it's rotating. You can calculate a myriad of other aspects of the physics of the ride. And so if you are super interested, just look up Anne-Marie Pendrell and her analysis of the wave swing ride. I think it's actually called the chain flyer as well. And so there's lots of different names for it. And so I won't go into it now since I know Michelle gets a little bit bored with our physics analysis. But if you, these are the type of things that you can really kind of add, like just throw in a couple little physics terms here and there with your kids and make the ride a little bit more special.
Great. So is this a must do for you, Stephen?
No.
We've
definitely gone to the park and not ridden this ride. So, yeah, I don't think it's a must.
No, you just, how about you? If you have time.
So instead of our top five today, you all get to hear a lot of my passion around physics and engineering. And we both share a passion for Disney. But something happened today that I think also ties into Michelle's passion around medicine and taking care of people. And so, Michelle, the parks just reopened today after their hiatus. Obviously, we love the parks. We are doing this podcast because, again, we have a slight Disney depression, not being able to go to the parks. But I'm curious, with the parks reopened, with everything happening around COVID-19, how do you feel about the parks reopening?
Well, there's a part of me that's happy and excited to see other people enjoying the parks. And then there's another part of me that is scared for what the next few months are going to hold. I mean, I think Disney's doing it right from everything I can see with social distancing and masks being required and only certain masks. And I think they're doing the best they can, but I just think during a COVID outbreak, an amusement park is probably not where people should be going.
Yeah, and I didn't spend a ton of time. I went on Twitter just to check it out real fast. And what really amazes me is that immediately there was someone on Twitter like complaining about how crowded it was. Like she was just videotaping
Carly
herself.
Carly Wiesel?
I have no idea who.
She's like a Disney blogger, travel and leisure, who was like taking pictures of
lines and stuff. Lines, yeah. She was like, I'm out of here. It's like too crowded. It's like just step 5 feet the other way if you're so upset. But for the most part.
I just want to get in that NBA bubble.
Yeah. Well, for the most part, people seem pretty happy with how it opened. They're like, this is the least crowded it's ever been. The shortest waits for any of the rides. It seemed like people are spaced out. Like the staff is obviously doing everything they can. There's no more hugging.
Yeah, they said it was the crowd level of after hours party, except for the whole park being open.
Right.
And
they're not letting people hug the characters. They have hand sanitizer everywhere. They're wiping down every ride after every person gets off. And so,
I do think Disney's doing its absolute best that it can do, other than, you know, testing everybody who comes in, but no one has the testing capabilities to do that right now. But I think that they're doing the best they can.
I guess the only reason I brought it up is that I'm just baffled that someone goes just to, like, complain.
Wow, that's...
And they're going to get a ton of views for it. And it's like, what? That's just the hard part. It's like, why not just focus on the joy, the fun, instead of always trying to, like, break something down and get likes just because it's negative.
Right.
So hopefully that's what you're getting from us, is a little bit of joy, a little bit of happiness. And we're going to try to focus on the positive parts of these rides, what we like, and share it with all of you as we continue our journey.
Right. And I have to do the trivia from last week.
Oh, yeah.
So the question was, who corrects Woody that it's not a merry-go-round, it's actually a carousel? Do you know what the answer to that is, Steven?
Oh, my gosh. We've been watching this movie
Toy Story 4
for the last week and a half. And
our littlest loves Toy Story, so we watch this movie not infrequently.
I don't know who it is. Is it Buzz? It is
Forky.
Forky. Oh, Forky. Oh, man. How did I forget that?
A spork of wisdom he is. Trivia for next week is, what amusement park close by to Disneyland has a Zero Wave Swinger? It's very close to Disneyland. Thanks again for listening this week. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'll be back next week.
As you wish.
As you wish.
Thanks for listening. Please check us out at countdowntomickey.com, and you can follow us on socials. We're on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, all under Countdown to Mickey. So thanks so much. And hopefully join us next time.